Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians meets for worship each and every Sunday of the year. This is public worship. By law, our door must remain open, unlocked. And enshrined in law is the right of each and every person of goodwill to join us here. So how important it is then, the quality of the welcome that we extend to people who come to join us. Visitors, friends, newcomers, all are welcome as part of this community. And let's extend our welcome, as we often do these days, to all those who might be listening to this service as a podcast sometime in the future. You might be in Wakefield or York, Seattle or New York. We hope wherever you are that this service will be of service to you. And that our essential message that we're all part of something greater than ourselves. And that we are all welcome, just as we are, whoever we are, wherever we're from, however we're feeling today, here on this bright, sunny spring morning, here we can belong. So I invite you now to take a conscious breath. And we might use that breath to calm and center ourselves in the here and now. We can breathe in, if we want, a sense of belonging. And breathe out anything that we feel ready to let go of. Some weariness, perhaps, or anxiety. Maybe that long list of things that we ought to be doing. Or that slightly raggedy feeling that can come from a long journey across London on a Sunday morning. We're here, carrying our own unique piece of the human story, bringing it to this wider community of which we are all part. We are here now together. Welcome. Welcome to you all. And our chalice flame is lit, this symbol of our worldwide Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist community. And let it today welcome three unseen guests. Three unseen guests to join us here. Faith, hope, and love, that we might find space for them in all our hearts. I put on the order of service here, remembering the story of the ugly duckling, because it is one of those stories, isn't it, that I think most of us know. You'll probably know the Hans Christian Andersen version of it, but it's an old, old story. And I think it's an old, old story because it tells us something really significant about human beings. And you can bring a number of different meanings to the story of the ugly duckling. But in the end, its essential message is, let's be who we are. Let's be ourselves. So you know how the story begins. A rather odd-looking egg is there amongst the mother duck's eggs. And when it hatches and it grows, it's a different shape from all the other ducklings. And then it's picked on by all the animals in the farmyard. And so it wanders off, the ugly duckling, and then gets teased by the hens and then chased by a cat, and then it's freezing in the winter and it sees a flock of swans and is frightened by them. But eventually, in its loneliness, it says, I may as well just throw myself on the mercy of those beautiful birds. And when it approaches the swans, they greet it as their own, because it has indeed, the ugly duckling, turned into the beautiful swan, and it has found its own people. But I wonder what messages that might have for you today. And I wonder if it fits for you, as it seemed to do for me with this Mary Oliver poem. Now, some of you may be very fortunate to have got the double-sided handout today. This is because I forgot that I thought, great, it's only one-sided, we can use the other side for shopping lists. But no, this morning I turned them all over and I pressed the button and I printed it again. But it's a great poem. But in the manner of great poems, it's not exactly straightforward, which is why I've printed it, and you could probably spend the rest of your life pondering this one. Blue Iris by Mary Oliver. Now that I'm free to be myself, who am I? Can't fly, can't run, and see how slowly I walk. Well, I think I can read books. What's that you're doing? The green-headed fly shouts as it buzzes past. I close the book. Well, I can write down words like these softly. What's that you're doing? Whispers the wind, pausing in a heap just outside the window. Give me a little time, I say back to its staring silver face. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, you know. Doesn't it? Says the wind, and breaks open, releasing distillation of blue iris. And my heart panics not to be, as I long to be, the empty, waiting, pure, speechless receptacle. Discuss. And I think the children's group are going off now for their own programme. Good to see you both. And we'll hear more about you later. And in the meantime, we'll all move into a time of prayer and reflection. So let's ready ourselves. Ian Sinclair writes, if people are telling you a story about themselves, they gradually map their own local territories and know themselves better. So as we join in this time of prayer and reflection, blessed and inspired by the spirit of life and love that holds us all in the embrace of existence, let's be aware of all the people in this room together now. Aware of this worshipping community of which we are part. Strengthened by this time of togetherness, enabled to go deeper in our thoughts and our prayers here together now. Here we can share the stories of our lives. So let's think in gratitude of all those who have listened to us over the years. If we can, let's each of us think of at least someone who has listened to us over the years. It might be here, or may well be in other parts of our lives. Let's be grateful for those who listen to us. And we too listen to the stories of others. So may we know how to be better listeners. Less sure, perhaps, of what we are hearing and of what we know to be true. More curious and gentle explorers of other people's views, their hopes, their fears. And may we, through our telling and listening to the stories of lives, come to know ourselves and one another better. May each and every one of us feel encouraged to be who we are. May we have the courage that is sometimes required to be ourselves and allow others that vital freedom to be themselves. Oh, and how shall we listen to the stories of our world community this day? How can we expand our thinking beyond right and wrong, beyond goodies and baddies, to a deeper understanding that knows that place where we are all one, all expressions of one light, one love, one humanity that has such diversity and yet an essential oneness. In stillness now, let us direct the thoughts and the prayers of our hearts to those we hold in love and care this day. And may we keep finding ways to put our love into action. And may this always be for the greater good of all. Amen.
This reading is a bit longer than usual, but it's worth a listen. It's taken from a blog written by a doctor called Rachel Naomi Remen, who has written extensively about the importance of spiritual well-being and the power of storytelling, the telling of the stories of our own lives. Tony's wife insisted he come to one of our Finding Meaning in Medicine retreats because he was deeply depressed and about to leave medicine. A highly skilled surgeon, after 10 years of doctoring, he was so stressed and disheartened that he felt that he could not go on. In a discussion over dinner one evening, I suggested that he might want to develop competency in seeing the meaning that was present in his work, just as he had developed competency in diagnosis and surgery. "What meaning?" he replied bitterly. "Ah," I said, "if you have 10 or 15 minutes a day, you may be able to answer that question for yourself." He looked dubious, but he said he would try. So I told him about the journal and about the three questions. The journal is the wise work of an old friend, the author and deeply respected teacher Angelis Arian. A simple way to begin to see your life differently and to find greater joy and satisfaction in it. Many doctors, nurses, and medical students in our workshops have used it to recover their child eyes and experience their daily work as renewing and even inspiring. Want to give it a try? All you need is a journal and a quiet place to reflect where you will not be disturbed for 10 or 15 minutes. Personally, I like doing this after dinner. What you do is simple. Just sit quietly and slowly review your day backwards, starting in the present moment and watching in your mind's eye a sort of day video that runs from the present moment towards the morning. Recall your activities and meetings, the people you spoke to, the things you saw, and the people you passed on your way to somewhere else. You get to do this review three times, each time asking yourself a new question. So, start by slowly reviewing your day backwards, moving from the present moment towards the morning and asking yourself the first question: what surprised me today? As soon as you find anything at all that surprised you, stop your review and write about it briefly in your journal. Then, slowly review your day backwards again, moving from the present moment towards the morning. This time, ask yourself the second question: what touched my heart today? As soon as you find anything at all that touched your heart, stop your review and write about it briefly in your journal. Then slowly review your day backwards for the last time, moving from the present moment towards the morning. This time ask yourself the third question, what inspired me today? As soon as you find anything at all that inspired you, stop your review, write about it briefly in your journal, then put your journal away until tomorrow. Doing this simple thing every day builds your capacity to be surprised or touched or inspired by small things. So the trick here is to write down the first thing you come to that answers the question for you, and not to look for the most surprising or most touching or most inspiring thing that happened in your day. And this is important. Do not become discouraged. Many people find that for a little while the answers to all three questions are exactly the same. Nothing, nothing, and nothing. But then, a magical thing starts to happen. At first, people begin to notice things that completely pass them by as they were living through their day. Then slowly, as people begin to grow new eyes, this time gap starts to close, and eventually, they become surprised and touched and inspired in the very moment their lives are actually happening to them. And then, of course, everything changes. After 6 months of doing this for a few minutes every day, Tony wrote to me to say that he had discovered he was surrounded by heroes and angels. He looks forward to going to work. He feels this very simple thing saved not only his career, but also his marriage. So give it a try, and let me know how it goes.
Thank you. And I'll just talk us through this first bit. Ready yourselves. Yes. So we've put this in a slightly different order from sometimes. I'm just going to, you know, talk us all into a kind of meditative state with those three questions. And then we're going to listen to the song Memory from the musical Cats. And then let's hold a good couple of minutes in stillness together, and that will come to an end with a chime from our bell. So maybe ready yourselves for a nice quiet time. Just enjoy that feeling of being here in a chair, your feet on the floor. Maybe put down anything you don't want to hold on to, or find something you do want to hold on to. Whatever works for you. Perhaps soften your gaze or focus on the candles. And as always, in any Unitarian activity, feel free to think your own thoughts. You don't have to think what we suggest. But one of my suggestions was that we could, in this time, be asking ourselves those questions. And we could do it about today, even though we've not been up very long, some of us. We could ask ourselves, well, what has surprised me today? First thing. What's touched my heart today? What's inspired me today? Just something, anything. It doesn't matter what. And let's follow the lovely meanderings of our own minds and the gentle rhythm of our breathing as we enjoy music, and that leads us into silence, which will come to an end with a chime from our bell.
Light, though we the least collect at their feet.
This bit's nice and short. The main message of this whole service is that each and every life is interesting, and in each and every life there are stories to be told. Now, if we have a representative sample of humanity here with us today, I think we can be rest assured, and I'm not asking for any hands going up on this one, but I think we can be rest assured that there will be someone in this room quietly thinking something along the lines of, my life is not worth the telling. There's nothing interesting about me. Because I reckon most of us feel that about our lives sometimes. It's one end of a spectrum. And some of us also know the other end. Perhaps when we've gone through a phase of therapy or maybe a course in autobiographical writing. And at that end of the spectrum, every tiny aspect of our life becomes completely fascinating. Well, to myself anyway. I've spotted friends' eyes glazing over when I've started telling them an in-detail description of a dream I've just had or some new memory that's just emerged in my life. So perhaps a healthy point of view on this one is to recognise that our own lives are interesting and are worthy of the telling, just as everyone else's lives are equally interesting and valid. Each of us an unique expression of what it is to be human. And it is worth counterbalancing this, isn't it, with the remembering that for most of human history, the individual has not been the prime concern of a society. This is a feature of our relatively modern times, this growth of what's described as individualism. And exploring that topic is really for another day and another place. These are the times that we are living in. And your life, your individual life, matters. As some of us enjoy writing, in which case I'd encourage all of us to do some autobiographical writing. And some of us prefer to talk, in which case let's find someone willing to listen, maybe over a cup of tea, maybe taking it in turns to tell a story from our own life. And if you have been on this good earth for as long as I have, it can seem a bit daunting to try and tell the whole story, can't it, with all its twists and turns. Easier then, perhaps, to pick a small particular detail and follow it like a thread, or take an overview and see what particular elements stand out in your own life story. Now, it's one of the precious aspects of a job like mine to sit with people as they talk through their lives. I've witnessed people's faces sparkle as they realise what is or has been of greatest importance to them. And isn't that a useful question to ask us all from time to time? What really matters most to me? It's different for all of us. And if we ask such a question regularly, we may be empowered to ensure that we're actually doing what matters most to us rather than something else altogether. Isn't that partly the message of the ugly duckling story we heard earlier on? We can only be ourselves though our life circumstances may sometimes push us to be someone other than we are truly. And it's in the telling of our stories that we can start to make sense of our lives, to understand ourselves a little better. And then through that understanding, to make some choices about next steps, next paths, next gates we'd like to walk through. And these life stories, I would say, are important not just for us, but also for our friends and our families. Our memories become their memories. Our stories connect with their stories. And all of this is a richly interwoven tapestry of life itself. Now, we've spent this whole month here at Essex Church exploring story as our ministry theme, and we'll be completing this with a Sunday conversation after this service. We thought about the ways that we interpret our life stories and how we might bring new interpretations to our lives. I've heard many a person start to change a story that had, "I've been a bit of a failure," as its theme, into, "Do you know, I've worked through many challenges, I'm still here." Nobody else has had our particular circumstances to deal with. We really are the heroines and heroes of our own life adventures. And we're not perfect, but we are real. Amen. Author Raymond Carver writes, "And did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth." So may each of us this day know ourselves to be beloved, to be cherished for who we truly are, acceptable just as we are. No need to pretend or strive or hide, able simply to be in the glory of this soft spring day. Amen. Go well and blessed be.